thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.
What's up, Atlanta sports fans? I'm Graham Waldrop, and alongside me, as always, is Adam. It's Thursday night, Kalal, and we are Atlanta Zone. Two Atlanta natives recapping the week that was in Atlanta professional sports with wacky-ass hijinks and analysis presented by Belly Up Sports. Adam, how's it going, sir?
Graham, going very well. Favorite night of the year, podcast night.
Favorite night of the year, just repeatedly.
Yes. Every week, yes. No, this specific podcast is my favorite of the year, Graham.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because I just have good feelings that we're going to get into some really important stuff.
There's so much going on. It's the best time of the year for sports. It's late. It's like mid-February to mid-March. Not really, but...
Well, you know, we're getting into March Madness.
March Madness is coming up, and, you know, we got the final college basketball games of the regular season this weekend, so...
The excitement of baseball starting up for guys like us.
Right.
Masters. I'm going to the Masters.
You're going to the Masters this year. Oh, yeah. How did you pull that off?
The Gins.
The Gins reached out to you.
They've had tickets for years.
I mean, I see Nick, like, every year... After, you know, at the end when somebody wins, it's like I always see. I've seen him like five or six times on TV.
Yeah, they offered up tickets to my dad, so we're going up.
Oh, that'd be a good
on Thursday.
Father Sean activity.
Oh yeah. So that'll be good times.
All right. Yeah, I went to the Masters practice round. Never been to like the real round, but I went with my dad and my uncle and my cousin, and three of the four of us passed out on the. I can't remember what hole it was. But I was like young. I was like, I don't know, 12, 13 or something. And we were all just exhausted. We had gotten up really early to go to Augusta. And we're all having allergy issues. My dad kept drinking beer, even though that doesn't help your allergy issues. And so we all fell asleep like at hole 14. Miss Tiger, Vijay Singh, Sergio Garcia, all these people. And then this guy comes over and says and like hits my dad and goes, "Wake up, sleeping babies." And my dad thought it was his brother. He's about to get up and like wrestle with him. He's like, "Oh shit, I'm sorry." And he's like, "You guys cannot sleep at the Masters." And we're like, "Okay,
that's reasonable." Yeah, I feel like I need to like catch up on that Netflix show, Full Swing. So I kind of know some storylines of different names because I'm still like in the era of like I just want Tiger to be good, but he's not going to be good again.
Probably not. So but he might be there.
That would be, Thursday.
Yeah, he'll be there. The cut will not have happened yet.
He'll be limping along.
Yeah.
So.
Who knows? He won his last major like 2018 or something. He might have one more run in the tank. You never know.
You never know. I heard he wanted to retire, but I guess he dropped Nike as a sponsor.
Yeah,
he did. So he's got like some new, I think it's just like his own clothing line or something that he's pushing out. So he's basically just going to be schlepping along just to sponsor them for a few years.
Sure.
But yeah, we'll see. It is cool to just like, and you know, we're not huge golf guys in general.
No.
But just the fact that like for state pride anyways, the fact that like the first tournament of the year and the last tournament of the year are like in Georgia.
Right.
What's the odds of that? And they're like, major tournaments.
Major tournaments.
So we got that going for us.
We do got that going for us. So there are other things happening or about to happen in Atlanta/Georgia sports. But Adam, we're gonna beat a dead horse here because I think this quarterback search for the Falcons is worse than the coaching search. In terms of the rumors that are popping up, there's just a new one every single day. And it's just it's out of control. It's like one day, like we talked about last week, one day we're the favorites for Justin Fields and the Falcons are talking to the Bears, the combine, a deal's gonna get done before the combine's over. Next day, it's like Arthur Blank demands that Kirk Cousins be the starting quarterback, and we got to do anything we can to go get him. And then you start hearing about Russell Wilson after he was officially released by the Broncos, where the Broncos would now be hit with $85 million of dead cap. Like, they are screwed for, like, the rest of their lives.
Yeah, that's the worst trade in NFL history.
Yes. You get 2 years of... Well, the first year was awful, Russell Wilson. Last year, he was actually not terrible. He had, like, 26 touchdowns, 8 picks, but a lot of... The majority of his passes are just little dump offs. Like you watch Broncos games, he took his deep shots and he would dump off. He cannot even throw the ball in an intermediate fashion anymore. I'm not really interested in Russell, but Yeah, you're right. It is a horrible trade. It's like 7 picks for him, and he gave you nothing.
Yeah, I think you could do worse than him because...
Well, Desmond Ridder would definitely be worse.
Well, Desmond Ridder would definitely be worse. He's going to be cheap. He's a proven guy, so he's like better than what we've had, but I don't think he's better than, you know, Kirk or Justin Fields.
Probably, yeah. No, especially not Kirk. But I don't know. That's... It's just more Kirk Cousins rumors this week. And yeah, you had the Russell stuff. And now there's more Kirk Cousins. He's apparently looking in Atlanta for houses. And him and Kyle Pitts have supposedly talked about, you know, Kirk getting number 8. Kyle Pitts laughed this off on social media. But it's all just a bunch of bullshit. It's all just a bunch of clickbait crap. And we have no idea what's going on.
It's just like, yeah, people are just like putting 2 and 2 together. Okay, this quarterback's available. Who needs a quarterback?
The Falcons.
Let's find a way to tie him to the Falcons.
Right.
It's just all nonsense, Graham.
Yeah.
I do think we're going to get... I can't even say we're going to get one of those 3 guys because I think we still could go the draft route. I've seen plenty of, you know, mock drafts by former NFL GMs having us trading up with the Patriots to get number 3 and get your boy.
And probably draft Marvin Harrison Jr. God. Or you mean Jaden Daniels in all seriousness. Yeah, yes.
That's at 3, that's who it would be.
Yeah, that would be nice.
But I don't know why the Patriots would not want to get him. They need a quarterback.
They need a quarterback worse than we do. I mean, we think Desmond Ridder's bad. You look at Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi. You just want to claw your eyes out. They give you nothing. At least Ridder every once in a while will have a good run or a good pass before he shoots himself in the foot to the point where there is no foot left. That's what Desmond Ridder would do. But yeah, it's just like I'm kind of over it. I kind of want something like there's part of me that feels similarly to how I thought about the coaching search. I was like, just please end this shit and let's figure it out. But there's a very realistic chance. I know, Jed. It's my dog moaning in the background. I'm still talking about the Falcons quarterback situation. But it's like
with no real news.
With no real news. We're just sitting here killing time.
Can you imagine being a daily radio show and just talk about the same crap?
Yeah, because I turn it on just to see if there's anything going on. They're like, well, you know, maybe we could do this and that. And it's like, yeah, there's Kirk Cousins. Could be interesting. I don't know.
All right, this is literally, we did it pre, you know, we don't generally do pre-show meetings. You know, generally we got a lot of things buzzing in our heads and we're excited to get them out. But this week it was like,
what the fuck are we talking about?
nothing major broke this week. I keep thinking this is going to be the week that we're going to have that huge news. Like a few weeks ago when Raheem was hired.
Right.
And just like things were popping off left and right.
And that happened like right before we were about to do a show too, which was really cool. I'm sure the Falcons quarterback situation will be resolved tomorrow and we'll be out of date.
I think it just goes to the draft.
I hope you're right.
The further this goes on, the more I'm thinking. Although free agency starts what?
Officially March 15th. So next 15th, week,
looking for a calendar on the wall.
I think that's next Friday. That's next Friday.
Next Friday. Damn it. Okay. So
you know, it's already happening, but I can't officially start until
we have to wait until next week.
Although we did just re-sign Nate Landman. So does that mean,
I think he was a restricted free agent.
Okay. So you can do that shit.
Unrestricted.
Okay. Yeah. Cause like Brian Burns got franchise tag. Justin Madubuike got franchise tag. So you can do all that restrictive stuff. Okay. Makes sense.
That's right.
But here's the thing about Kirk Cousins. I don't like Adam. One playoff win. And he's like 30 games under 500 against 500 or better teams in his career. So what the hell is so great about Kirk Cousins? Remember when they went to the NFC Championship, he was hurt. And who was that guy, that little guy that led in the NFC Championship? I can't remember his name.
Taylor Heinicke?
It wasn't Taylor Heinicke. It was some guy similar to him. Case Keenum led them to the NFC Championship.
Oh.
The last time they went.
For the Vikings.
For the Vikings. So I'm just like, yes, Kirk puts up good numbers. But is he like a winner? Is he this guy you want to shell out and do at any cost, go out and get him, according to Zach Klein saying that's what Arthur Blank said. Like, I don't see it, especially with the Achilles issue, man. And then you look at just like him not winning in big time games. I can't say I'm particularly interested. Is he the best free agent quarterback? Probably. Does that mean I want him? Not necessarily.
I think he's certainly the best quarterback to win right now, and I think you could compare.
But can you win big with Kirk Cousins?
I think you could compare it to Matt Stafford, where Matt Stafford, granted he was on some terrible Detroit teams, but he had never won anything.
True.
Until he goes to LA,
right,
and then he gets great weapons around him, good coaching,
right,
instant Super Bowl,
right, and a lot of the people that are here now were part of that Rams regime, so maybe they're seeing like, oh, we could do the same thing here. I didn't even think about that. So
I think that's a decent comp.
That no,
and he was about the same age. So,
that's a decent take.
I definitely would be like.
Jet's really tired of this quarterback talk.
Sorry, Jet. At the end of the day, it would be exciting, and like this, the city like needs a legit quarterback again.
Yes, we do. Because
fan confidence is just, you know, it's in the shitter at this point, Graham.
It's below. It's in the plumbing system. It's in the sewers of Atlanta. It's not even in the shitter.
It's on its way. Where do the sewers go around here?
The watershed area in West Midtown.
Do they all go there?
A lot of them do.
That's crazy if that's the case. No. Well, they're headed there right now. So we need, you know, that that damn Mercedes Benz. You're going to have to put another mortgage on it.
Pretty close to the Benz, too, where that location is.
Thank God for Atlanta United for the Benz, you know.
Right. Making it viable.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we didn't have that, it would just be this half-empty big ass waste of space.
You'd love this. I read an article on The Athletic, of course, about you see the designs for the new Oakland A's stadium? Well, sorry,
Las Vegas A's? No, I have not.
It's crazy looking. It looks like, I don't know if you're gonna know what this looks like or not, the Sydney Opera House.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
yeah, in Australia.
So it's got like these, like, you know, it's very open air. Looks like it's got like awnings over
right.
And like they're talking to the architect about like, why'd you design it like this? And he specifically mentioned going to the Super Bowl in Atlanta because they're like, well, didn't you want a retractable roof? And he's like, I was in Atlanta looking at that stadium and just thinking about like how much money and resources and just how much weight is in that ceiling, in that roof, to call it retractable. But then like they do the flyover and you can't even see the jets because it's not really retractable.
Thank you.
It's just an unnecessary roof.
Yes. This guy's like speaking my language here. I've been playing with this for 7 years.
Yeah. So that hurt a little bit, but it's
that's
still
true.
It's still a world-class stadium.
It is, but just with the shitty roof.
We got to put butts in the seats, Graham.
Yeah. Kirk Cousins would help with that, but I would argue so would Jane and Daniel. And I think the Falcons should, but here's another thing also going back to it. This Arthur Blank thing is true where he was saying by any means necessary, go to Kirk Cousins. It's again, another instance of him taking over and telling the football people what to do, just like he did with Deshaun Watson.
And
he just has to stop meddling in football affairs. Like, yes, he should be consulted. Yes, he owns the team. Yes, he should have input. But at the end of the day, it should come down to what do the football people think we should do? Because they are the football people. I would say.
Well, I'm just going to trust Raheem Morris is the type of man that he's going to trust himself. He's, you know, I don't think he's going to be the type to be like scared of, oh, I need to impress Mr. Blank.
Roll over for
he's
Arthur.
He's come a long way to get here.
Right.
He's going to go with what his gut is telling him is the best move.
But
team.
Can Arthur overrule him? Obviously he can because he's the owner.
I don't think he can.
Yes, he can. Because think about it. There's no way in hell that Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot would be able to stand up to Arthur Blank. Just because Raheem has some more experience doesn't mean he can stand up to Arthur Blank.
Arthur Blank is not in the draft room telling them who to draft.
Like, he has said that.
I think he can influence them like from like afar.
But you know he was the guy who pushed for Deshaun.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and is the reason why we are where we are right now. So why wouldn't this happen again with Kirk Cousins?
I'm just trusting that Raheem's not going to roll over like Arthur Smith.
I hope you're right. I really hope you're right, because that would just be... I don't mean to keep cutting you off. I'm just like... It's just so many things going on in my head about this. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you're... We're efficient here, Graham. Like...
Are we?
Like, I'm aware. No, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. I don't think Kirk Cousins is a bad move.
It's not a bad move. I just think, like, you know, he's coming off this Achilles injury, and he's getting old. Like, only Brady's the only one that's able to really defy Father Time. And you see, like, Kirk Cousins is taking a shit ton of hits like Matt did in the latter part of his career. And I'm just wondering, it's like, how much does he have left, honestly?
That was one thing they were talking about with your boy Jaden Daniels about how he's, like, kind of scrawny.
He's very small. That's the one thing I don't like about him.
And he takes a lot of hits.
Yeah. And so he would need to change his play style or beef up to survive in the NFL. So that is a big thing with him, too.
It's a concern.
It is a concern. But at least he's young and malleable. You know, and his potential is through the fucking roof, through the damn Mercedes-Benz roof.
Yep. So we'll see, Graham. Another week of waiting, but I'm glad they re-signed your boy Landman.
Yeah, Landman is re-signed. That's huge.
No-brainer.
Yeah, love it. I hope he pushes Troy Andersen and wins that job.
But if they're going 3-4, they need four linebackers.
That's true.
Anyways,
he can just play already.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, yeah. We don't have to worry about that.
Just more depth.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's all reports are that we're going to be big spenders in free agency one way or another. So that either if that's with a quarterback or drafting one, trading for one, and then picking up. There's still like a lot of DNs out there.
Danielle Hunter would be amazing.
Need tackles.
Yeah.
We need a number two wide receiver, no doubt. We need a couple wide receivers.
Yes. Especially because this is a three wide receiver offense we're running primarily. So
we're going to need another probably more solid backup tight end. That's going to be a smaller move, but we have needs, Graham.
We do have a lot of needs. We need help in the secondary. We need another cornerback, I would say.
We have needs. You have concerns.
Yes.
Arthur Blank has desperations to win.
Yeah. And I empathize with him. I mean, you're 81. You haven't won shit except for an NFC title. And I mean, you see the end coming.
He's won life. Though.
He's won life, but he wants to win a Super Bowl so badly. He is so desperate to win a Super Bowl that he's not using rational logic anymore over the last 10 seasons.
You think Arthur Blank, like, does he either A, sell the team as soon as he wins a Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
B, die within a year, or C, win multiple Super Bowls?
We'll say B.
I think so too. It's like
that's what's more likely.
I mean, he's not.
I hate to say that.
He's not that old. He's 81.
But he's also like a cancer survivor.
Yeah,
you know, he's had a lot of health issues.
He's still out there living. He's living the life of a 51-year-old man.
Yeah, no,
running multiple businesses.
It's amazing what he's done.
Just relax, Arthur.
Yeah,
go play some golf. You don't need to be running all your foundations and
or the Falcons,
all your businesses.
The Falcons. And I don't want him to groom anybody because I don't like the way he's done things the last like 7 or 8 years or so, man. Like the thing that worries me the most is that when Arthur Blank either dies or sells the team or passes it along, when he's done, I could easily see him passing along to Rich McKay and Rich McKay becomes the owner.
Oh god,
I could see that 1,000% because Rich is his boy.
Does he have any kids?
Yes.
I'm picturing Eric Trump or something like that.
Oh, Jesus.
Just like,
or Don Jr.
Just like a young Arthur Blank with the same mustache and a red suit.
He comes down the field, but just, arms crossed, Falcons and United pin on his suit.
But just like not having earned any of the same respect.
No, not at all.
Just like really greasy and... All the players hate him. And
a greasy bastard.
And then you're like, fuck, I miss
senior. Arthur Blank.
Yeah,
maybe. It could get worse. It definitely could be worse. Like you were saying, Adam, the Falcons.
Like with Matt Ryan, you know?
Right, like, yeah, exactly. The Falcons, like you were saying, Adam, do have a lot of cap space. So according to Over the Cap, they're at $37.48 million right now. So that's a lot. But the problem is, if you go get Kirk Cousins, there goes your cap space. At least the vast majority of it. You're not really going to be able to do much with your remaining cap space, and then you got to put more stock into who you're drafting. They got to come in and sort of be like the 2016 draft class, Deion Jones, Grady Jarrett, etc., and have an immediate impact.
Yeah, I'm no capologist, but I did see somewhere where like they could backload it like we did a la Matt Ryan, and like just knowing that the salary cap's going to continue to increase.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like Russell Wilson contract.
No, it's not gonna like
anything that detrimental.
No. Or even when Matt Ryan left, he was the second most dead money ever in the history of the league. He was the most until Russell Wilson got cut. So but I thought it would be fun, Adam, to do a Falcons free agents questionnaire. Who do you want back? Who you don't want back. So let's begin.
Keep in mind I'm a homer, so I probably want all of them.
You want all of them back. Well, actually there's one guy I know you're not gonna want back. So we got Logan Woodside. He was the third string quarterback this year.
Punter? Yeah. yeah, bring him back.
Bring him back.
He was solid.
So you got Heinicke and Ridder under contract right now, and you have him. Or you don't have him under contract.
Keep him for our practice squad.
Yeah.
You're not going to keep both Heinicke and Ridder.
Right. So you think he will be the third string quarterback at the end of the day.
I like Woodside.
All right. Your boy and mine, Felipe Franks.
He's already cut, right?
Nope.
Are you serious?
Well, he's a free agent, so he's technically not cut, but he's out there.
Yeah, let's not bring him back.
Okay.
Although we do need a tight end, too.
There you go. Felipe Franks time. Remember that Athletic article? It wasn't this year. I think it was last year where it was like, he's working so hard. He looks so good in practice. And then he just looked like he did nothing the whole season.
They're just like us, nothing to write about. So they just write about Felipe Franks.
Right. It was a whole article. No, it wasn't just like a little blurb. It was
he's
like
gone.
Big
I want
thing.
Him to go.
Yeah.
I know. Arthur Smith, Pittsburgh.
Yeah. You've been anti-Felipe Franks. Cordarrelle Patterson. First name of note.
It's time to go.
I agree.
He got a little too snippy in the media.
Yeah. I don't blame him, though, because like there were times this year he looked good. He just wasn't utilized all that much. But I think when you have Bijan at this point and Algier, you don't need Cordarrelle.
Yeah. We got to let those two cook, and then we can pick up like some random, either a veteran or a rookie in
the
late
You could draft
rounds.
Somebody in the fifth round, and he might be okay.
Let him be our third stringer.
Yeah. Keith Smith, fullback.
Oh, you got to bring him back.
I would agree. I think he's a solid player, and I love having fullbacks. I just think it's just an extra layer of protection. Your boy, Van Jefferson.
Oh, my God.
Get rid of that bastard.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the worst football players I've ever seen.
Yeah. Terry does not know receivers so far. Mac Hollins, bust. Van Jefferson, bust. Who's the other guy we had?
Drake London.
I'm talking about, like, just your two receiver. We've had three different guys supposed to be our two receiver, and tough. I can't remember the first one, and he was terrible.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah. So Van Jefferson's gone. The aforementioned Mac Hollins.
I'm okay with Mac Hollins.
I would like to see him come back and see what's what. Because like, ever since he yelled at Desmond Ridder, it was like he never saw the field again.
Yeah.
In that London game.
No, I think if you can get him for cheap, it's fine. Not as a two, but as a three.
Right. Okay. Scotty Miller.
I think we should probably need to upgrade there.
It would be nice. I could also see him being more effective with a better quarterback, though.
But if we need, like, six wide, yeah, throw him in the slot.
I don't know if you can do six wide, but
well,
I know what you mean.
If you do five wide, then you need a six guy, you know?
Sure. Sure, as a backup. Cordarrelle Hodge. Or Cordarrelle Hodge, I think is how you pronounce it.
He was decent.
He was decent. Would you bring him back, though?
Okay, I'll take Cordarrelle Hodge over Scotty Miller.
Wow. Okay. We got Johnny Smith actually just left to go to Miami. We already cut him, so that's that.
I would have said bring him back.
But yeah.
That's good. It's like Cordarrelle leaving. This makes it, you know, it messes up your depth if there's injuries. But now it's like, okay, Pitts, you are our tight end, like, one plus, plus, plus.
Right. Okay, next on the list is Mykal Pruitt, the best passer of all time.
Bring him back.
Bring him back. That could be your TE, too, potentially, Adam.
I'm fine with him.
Especially with the way the office is constructed. The backup tight ends are not really that necessary. And the guy can actually, as you know, I would say, especially for being TE3 this year, decent hands. He caught that big touchdown against the Jets this year.
I'd say if we like don't get anyone that we're not familiar with in the organization, then you got Mykal Pruitt or John Fitzpatrick, who was the...
I forgot about Fitzpatrick.
He was the third stringer last year out of Georgia. Everyone lost their mind that we finally drafted a Bulldog. So if Fitzpatrick can't beat out Pruitt in camp,
right,
then Fitzpatrick's out. Keep Pruitt.
Right. This is someone we all know and love and care about that has to be brought back. Okay. I don't want to hear any dissent here. Ethan Greenidge. I don't know who he is, an offensive lineman. He's apparently a free agent. Can't say I have an opinion on that one.
Yep. I'm not going to pretend on that one.
Yeah. Okay. Matt Hennessy. Center of the century.
Thought he was good last
year. All right.
Yeah.
Would you bring him back?
Bring him back.
Okay. This is a big one. Calais Campbell. Six sacks last year.
I mean, you have to bring him back unless we can upgrade to someone younger.
Yeah. Especially with this proposed 3-4, which we are not equipped to do right now. Like, one of the things we need is a big, beefy, defensive tackle. You know, we don't have that. As much as I love Grady... And I liked what Onyemata did last year. Neither one of them fits that mold of being your beefy interior defensive tackle.
So where
tackle.
Do those two play in a 3-4?
They would be your ends, potentially. Or they would swap out with each other, and then another guy would be at the end.
Huh.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah. And neither one of them are, like, great for that. They work better in a 4-3, which is why I don't like Jimmy Lake just coming in here and saying, we're running a 3-4.
Maybe he'll mix it up one.
I mean, and he also said, like, just because we're a base 3-4 doesn't mean we can't do other things. So sure. It's like, it's not as, you know, like 15, 20 years ago where it's like, you're running a 3-4. That was like the primary, that's what you were using.
It's like
most of the time.
You've got different personnel packages.
You got different personnel packages and you're and today's NFL, with it being such a passing oriented league, you are in the nickel way more than you're in your base 4-3, 3-4, whatever. Not a huge, it's a big deal, but if Calais wants to come back, bring him back. Yeah, I agree. I'm going to skip over some other of these people. Bud Dupree.
I liked him a lot.
Yeah, he was fine. If he can come back for
that
cheap.
That was a hit.
Yeah, if he can come back for cheap, I'm good with that. Jeff Okuda, who kind of got benched halfway through the year. Started off strong, then sort of faded.
He'd have to be cheaper. He's not getting that big contract.
No, he's not.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Okuda's a guy that if you can get him on a, you know, decent deal. Cornerbacks are kind of like pitchers. You can never have enough, you know.
Yeah.
There's going to be depth issues there all the time. So if you can bring him back, yeah. But like Clark Phillips really came on at the end of the year there. So I think he, you know, could step in as our number two cornerback. But, you know, that might be another position we add at either in the draft or free agency.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Clark Phillips rotate to like nickel corner or something and then get like a more bona fide two. Because it'd be great if we could have, you know, Terrell had some issues last year every once in a while, but for the most part, again, another really good season. I'd love to like pair him with maybe someone who's not quite as good, but someone who's comparable.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to being like, yeah, maybe Phillips can do it, maybe he can't, but then, you know, the team targets him a lot more and we get burned because we don't have like a good enough second cornerback when we had the opportunity to do it in free agency.
Yeah. And you probably need to go young because Terrell's contract, I think, is up after this year.
I think next year will be his fifth year. Or it might be this year.
I think it's this year.
I think you're right, actually.
So
it might be this year.
We got to resign him.
Yeah, so like he still will play this year.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, this is fifth year, so a fifth year option's coming up. Trey Flowers is another one. It's really the last free agent of note.
Once again, like he played okay.
Yeah.
I would
bring him back cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. That's it. Really for Falcons free agency. Some people are thinking that maybe we go after L'Jarius Sneed, the cornerback for the Kansas City Chiefs, who just got franchise tagged, but it's not a restricted franchise tag. So they're trying to see if someone will want to come in and try to pry L'Jarius Sneed away from the Chiefs. And I would say it depends on what you're doing. Like, you know, if it's just a blanket thing where it's like, would I like L'Jarius Sneed? Hell yeah, he was fantastic. But what is it actually practical to think you can go get L'Jarius Sneed and also fill all the holes you have, which are numerous?
Look at you, Graham. This is growth.
Yeah. I'm trying not to just go off the cuff.
I want good pitching. I want the best pitchers out there. Like, there's, you know, we're dealing with
it's different with the Braves, though, because the Braves have all, like, they have hardly any holes. So
well,
when
now
when
we have great pitching.
Yeah, when there's holes that pop up, I get pissed off because I'm like last year, it's like we don't have a full-time left fielder. It's like, what the fuck? Why not?
Sure, sure.
You know, here it's like you need a big, beefy defensive lineman. You need a quarterback. You need a second cornerback. You need a defensive end that can actually get pressure on the quarterback consistently. You have so many holes. Everybody says, oh, if you just get, you saw the quarterback problem, you're going to the playoffs. I'm like, well, not necessarily. You're just basing that off what you saw last year against the weakest schedule in the league. And we still went 7-10.
But I think with, you know, if you look at our division, though, that's the thing. It's just still going to be so winnable. So, like, that's why if we have a good quarterback, we should win the thing.
Yeah, if like you have the best quarterback, it should take you over the top for sure. I'm not saying it shouldn't. It's just there are so many other issues that you have. Yes, it's one thing to win a shitty division. It's another to actually be a true contender. And to be a true contender, the Falcons have to figure out quarterback while also making sure they're able to fill these holes that are pretty gaping in my mind. And one that hasn't been filled since the 2012 season with John Abraham's departure. Like, come the fuck on.
True contender. I like that, Greg.
Yeah.
I mean, if you should replace Rise Up.
Yeah. True contender. It's the Falcons' goal.
Just
be a true contender.
See, like, we're the opposite of the Braves. Like, you know, Braves, Graham's going to puke if he ever hears them say, we just want to win the division. But for the Falcons, that's acceptable.
That's what we want. That's what we wanted last year. We should have had it.
I want to win the division. Obviously, we're going to be in the wild card round.
Yes.
Beat, like, some terrible 7-10 wild card team that snuck in.
Beat what we were last year, pretty much.
Right.
Or what Tampa Bay was last year.
And then get stomped on by, like, you know, the Packers or whoever.
The Lions.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that'd be,
San Francisco.
That'd be a success.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great, though, to, like, beat San Francisco somehow?
Oh, yeah. No, I think if we ever get matched up against San Francisco, we're winning.
You think so?
Yeah,
beating Shanny?
In San Francisco,
that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I think I've said this on the show many times before, but I think I'd go streaking somewhere if that happened. None of my streaking things have ever come true. So.
No.
No.
You I guess you didn't predict that for the Braves 2021 World Series.
No, I did not. Yeah. No streaking guarantee on that one. That's really it for... Oh, let me ask you this, Adam. Baker Mayfield, interested or not interested?
Interested.
Well, if he wants 4 years, $140 million.
Not interested.
Okay. that's apparently what people are saying he wants.
That's crazy.
No, that's insane.
Like, I wish we could have gotten him on the deal he got last year.
$4 million for 1 year.
Yeah. That's what we need.
Yeah. He.
We need to find that guy. Is that Russell Wilson this year, you know?
It could be. And like I said, he was effective at times. Like, the Broncos went on a nice little, like, 4 or 5 game win streak. And I watched a couple of their games. And I was like, you know what? It's not pretty, but he's getting it done.
He's a weirdo, though. Like, he could be a guy to just wreck a locker room.
Well, he's also a guy. So the thing was, is like, the reason Sean Payton hated him so much, beyond sometimes his play wasn't great at the beginning of the season, was... You know, he was bringing in his own people, own trainers, own, you know, like he was acting like he wasn't as much part of a team. And the Falcons do not need someone like that coming here.
That's the problem with him. Yeah, and I think he won't like talk to certain people on the team. He has his people talk to them.
Yeah, like, it's just not how you should do things.
No.
Like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's won the Super Bowl and everything, but it's like you can't get to, like, if you start doing that, you become a distraction, you become a problem, you become a guy that people don't want to go the extra mile for in terms of your teammates.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he'll get humbled by this whole situation, but something's telling me he won't.
Well said. I have nothing to add. Well, that's it, I think, for the Falcons. Let's take a break, hear a word from our sponsor, and we will... wrap this thing up with a little Hawks and Braves talk.
Hey everyone, it's Ryan from No Credentials Required to talk to you about one of our newest partners at Belly Up Sports, SeatGeek. Yeah, live sports is great on television, but the feeling of being at the arena is a priceless experience. That's why our friends at SeatGeek are there to help you find the best tickets at the best prices. Not only can you get tickets to sporting events, but you can also get tickets to concerts, comedy shows, musicals, and more. Search for your desired event now at SeatGeek.com. Enter promo code BellyUpSports at checkout, and you save $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek. Life's an event. We have the tickets.
All right, Adam, we're back. Not really too much else to report on, honestly. Like, the Hawks are hanging in. They're still on the 10 seed. Won the last 2 games against the Knicks on the road when they were missing, like, 4 people, including Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle. Did you know we drafted Jalen Brunson the same year we drafted Luka?
That was a fake news report.
Was it?
Because that was already traded to... Wait, who has him now? The Knicks?
The Knicks.
It was already traded before that pick.
Okay.
So it was like one of those things where the NBA is weird and still makes you draft the player even though like it's been traded.
Well, it's kind of like the same thing I guess we did with Luka himself to get Trey.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, you had a shot at both those guys and
it's
very frustrating.
Yeah.
The Knicks didn't have him or Randall and a couple other people. They won, and then they beat Cleveland last night, which looked impressive until you realized that Donovan Mitchell wasn't playing. So it was like, okay. It's like we were both missing our star player. We came out on top somehow.
Yeah.
Still, like, decent wins. I think the Hawks are 5-2 or 4-2 without Trey so far, but there's a lot of caveats there with, like, again, some of those... Like, when we beat the Magic, they didn't have Paolo Banchero. It's like, it's weird how we're just going up against teams right now that are missing their stars. But for the most part, we're winning outside of a weekend sweep in Brooklyn where we look like dog shit in both games. Hawks are doing okay.
Yeah, I watched the last, like, 9 minutes of the game last night.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed with, you know, we closed out pretty well. Sadiq Bey hit a few...
He was good.
Big threes towards the end.
Yeah, Bogey was good last night.
Bogey hit some. You know, Jalen Johnson was hurt in that game, but according to your reports, he's okay.
He's okay. Sprained ankle, should be out for a week or two.
Which is great.
Yeah.
My boy Bruno, he's kind of taking on that Ivan Johnson / Jersey Jerry role that I was saying we need. Mm-hmm. Like, just he's battling. He turns the ball over a lot, but he's getting a lot of rebounds as well, and he's fighting his ass off. Say that much for him. The injuries have just killed us.
Yeah, like, we haven't had, like, the whole team healthy pretty much the entire season.
You know, like, Okongwu's out now. Trey's out now.
Jalen's going to be out.
Jalen's out.
DeAndre missed, like,
DeAndre
20 games.
DeAndre was out for a while. Like,
good has he been since he's been come back? He's averaged, like, great. 20 points off the bench.
He likes playing off the bench, apparently. They've been giving him restricted minutes still. So that's why Sadiq's still been starting. But maybe roll with it.
Well, I think you got to start him now that Jalen's out. Like, you have no choice.
Probably.
Mike's probably going to be him, DeJounte, Capella, Bogey, and Bay.
I don't know what happened to Kobe Bufkin, do you?
I don't know either. I just heard he got injured.
Oh, he's hurt as well?
Yeah, he's hurt as well. I don't know how long he's out.
I just assumed that, you know, coach decided he didn't like him because he's a rookie, but
the AJ Griffin treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's like, I will say this. I like the way this Hawks team's playing after the All-Star break so far. Like, they're scrapping. They're trying. You still have problems defending people, particularly in the paint and on the perimeter. But there's been times where the defensive effort has been better than it was in the first part of the season. So, and I like seeing what I'm seeing from DeJounte. But, again, it just proves that we should never have brought DeJounte here. It's like him and Trey just can't coexist. Neither one of them can play off the ball that well. They're both dependent on having the ball in their hands, and they don't. They kind of just take up space out there. Not to say they can't do things, but especially Trey, like, really needs the ball in his hands to be, you know, to be as good as he can be. Like, he is a facilitator at heart.
And, you know, we've talked about this a million times, but we're just missing those role players that we had on the 2021 team.
Of Lou, Gallinari, who's Solomon Hill.
Solomon Hill, yeah. Herder. It's just like...
Herder, yes.
Guys that could come in and score, guys that could come in and bang. 3-and-D guys, like...
Yeah, and back then DeAndre Hunter could play defense, which he can't anymore. Like, right. He's focusing seemingly now on his offensive game. Like, it was really interesting going to the Magic game a couple weeks ago, just seeing the confidence DeAndre was playing with on the offensive side of the ball. And you just haven't seen that. I guess part of that is that he's healthy. I guess another part of that is that the pressure's off a little bit because no one's expecting anything from him.
Yeah.
The expectations aren't the same as they were.
I mean, that doesn't... You know, number three overall pick, you'd like the guy to be able to handle some pressure, but
yeah.
Hey, maybe he's more of a be in the shadows guy. So,
hey, if you're dropping 19, 20 points a night,
we'll take it.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not too much else going on with the Hawks, though. They got Memphis on Friday in Memphis. No Ja Morant. Memphis is bottom five team in the league.
They're terrible. So, that's a game we should win.
You must win.
If we lose, I'm officially done, Greg.
You're officially done. Yeah. You've been officially done about four or five times this year.
You know, but I, like I said, I watched 8 minutes of the game last night, right. So that's not fully done.
That's not okay.
All
right.
I'm still checking box scores.
Right.
All of that. I'm not all out yet.
Yeah. And then we got the Braves. Everything's so. I guess the big thing with the Braves is Acuña got hurt over the weekend.
Terrifying.
Apparently, inflammation in his meniscus, surgically repaired knee. The meniscus of his surgically repaired knee. Got flown to California. They did some MRI x-rays or whatever, and they're like, oh shit, let's have the guy who did the surgery on Acuña in 2021 take a look and just see how things are. Flies out to LA. Apparently everything's fine. It's just some soreness. But he was hobbling a little bit. You know, spring training is one of those times when, you know, with your star player that has nothing to prove, you're like, at this point, the way I'm thinking, he doesn't need to have another at-bat. He doesn't need to take another fly ball. Just have him chill for the next few weeks.
Well, you know, it's Ronnie being Ronnie. It's like it can be really frustrating, but it's also what makes him the player that he is. And just like as amazing as he is, he was in a freaking rundown in spring training.
You don't need to do that.
Like, that's why he got hurt. Like, that's crazy.
Right. And it's so funny, too. It's like so many people, especially last year, were like bitching. And this is a guy who had a 70 stolen base season. Bitching, moaning, whining, that's so redundant, that's the same, it's just synonyms, it's the same thing, about how sometimes he doesn't hustle. And then, which I think is ridiculous, because the guy hustled his ass off, and yeah, he's not going to go out on every ground ball to second base, I'm sorry, who does that? He just gets singled out for some reason. But it's just ironic, I guess, that he gets hurt in a rundown in a spring training game, where he was actually
trying to get out of it or trying to let his teammate advance another base.
Right.
It's like, Ronnie, we do not need that from you in spring training.
The second you are in a rundown, just stop.
We don't need that from you in the regular season, really.
Situation dependent. But
depending on how many games up we are.
Right, and like what's going on in this game. Like, is this game really important to win? Then battle your ass off. If it's not, if you're up 7-2 in the sixth inning, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's ready, though. Like, you know, he played... winter ball.
He needs to stop playing winter ball, I think.
I disagree. I don't know. Of course, you know, I was listening to Dave O'Brien and Erica Flaherty's take on this.
What'd they say? They said, fuck it, keep going?
Well, no, I mean, they're just talking about, like, you got to think, like, these people, like, a lot of these players' families are, like, you know, still live in the Dominican Republic, and they never get to actually see them play. and like this is their time to go down, and like would you rather a guy who doesn't take that time to play and just like takes a month and like gets drunk all month and just like kind of loses himself for a little bit and then tries to get back into shape versus Ronnie? He's down there playing. Like, he didn't play the whole time or anything.
Right.
Like, his team won the World Series, but he like only played like 10 games or something like that.
Right.
But you know, he stayed in shape, and like, it's, you got to keep these guys, you got to keep these guys happy as well.
Sure. But that's such a drastic thing to be like, he's either going to get wasted for a month or he's going to go play winter ball. It's like, there's that's two extremes, polar opposites. It's like, maybe there's something in the middle, even if it's only just 10 games, just to be like, yeah, stay in shape. But you don't need to be playing organized baseball when it's not regular season time. I'm sorry that maybe your family won't see you play. Do you want another big payday or not?
Yeah, but maybe that's what makes the Braves organization different, is that they do encourage things like that, and these guys want to stay here for a long time.
Yeah, maybe. But I just worry about like what that does to his body, because like, you know, he's in his 20s right now. You can't be doing that when you're in your 30s. There's so much wear and tear on that body up for Acuna already with the knee surgery, and there's the amount of innings he's played, the amount of stolen bases he's had, particularly last season. Just the more you use your body, the more it's going to wear out, and it's just the way it is. So
yeah, I mean, guys in the past used to do it all the time. You got to think Javi Lopez going down to Puerto Rico to play.
Right.
Andrew Jones to Curaçao. Like, it's not a new thing.
No, it's not. It just makes me worried, especially when you see like something like what happened over the weekend.
It's not how he got hurt, though. He got hurt at spring training.
Correct. Correct.
But he's good, so that would have been a whole different conversation for...
That would have let off the show if he wasn't good.
With Forrest Wall, are we going to sign Adam Duvall, who's still out there?
Is Adam Duvall still out there?
Yeah.
What the shit are we signing him?
Do you need him?
Yeah.
For what?
He's a... Is Kelnick a righty or a lefty? Do we know? Because if Kelnick's a righty...
He's a lefty.
He's a lefty, too. Okay, so that's kind of redundant. And Kelnick arguably plays better defense than Duvall. Oh, that's right. Adam Duvall crushes left-handers. Platoon, baby. Like, why not do that?
I thought you didn't want a platoon. You wanted everyday left.
I do want an everyday left, but this makes sense. They're both good players with various strengths and weaknesses, and they both play good defense. This makes a little more sense. Well, I like Kelnick to be the everyday guy, sure. But Adam Duvall, still capable of hitting 25-plus homers, still playing plus defense.
Let me double-check that.
Yeah, double-check that he's not... He's not a righty. I feel like he is a righty.
I'm picturing a lefty in my head.
He made a great diving catch last week. It was nice to see in spring training. Okay, so he is a left-hander, right?
Correct.
Okay. I'm sure Adam Duvall went like $6 million. I think we could afford that.
I think they just want to play a guy. Like they
It'd be nice to have a guy that plays every day.
They want to give this guy a chance. Like,
sure.
He was a top prospect. In a new place, he can bat ninth.
That's a question, right? Do you keep Michael in nine? I would rather not, even though I know he's comfortable there. It's time to see him bat higher up in the order. So imagine if he could be an on-base beast like Acuna. Maybe not exactly like Acuna. You had those guys 1-2. He lights out.
Snicker was on a podcast, I think some ESPN National podcast or something, this past week, and he was... You know, he's Snicker. He's very open about what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, we're going to move Michael up.
Good.
He's going to bat, you know, middle of the order.
It's
maybe
time. It's been 2 years, 2 years at number nine for the most part, unless there's been an injury. So, yeah, I like that.
They asked, where's Kalanick going to be? He's like, he's going to be at nine.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's what they said. Okay. So, you know, keep us guessing.
Straight from the second. What am I trying to say? Not straight from the horse's mouth, but... Second degree horse's mouth.
Yeah.
Via podcast.
So we're looking at Acuna, Albies, Olson. Or no, was it Acuna? Ryle. Was it Acuna? Was it Olson too?
Although Olson was two.
He took
Olson
off when he went to four. Right?
Yeah, I think they'll keep Olson at four. So Riley at three.
Acuna, Albies, Riley, Olson, Ozuna, Harris,
Murphy
at seven. Arcia at eight.
And then Kelnick.
Kelnick at nine.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, that'll rake.
God, I'd still love to go out and get a real shortstop. Not to say Arcia is not a real shortstop, but he was dog shit the second half of last year, sort of regressed back to what I thought he was going to be. And it's like, I feel like he's just going to be kind of a hole over there this year, offensively.
as long as he's good defensively. It is like, you're right, though. It's like the one position where we don't have like, oh, this guy, even though he wasn't he was an all-star last year, but it's still like, this guy's like not a top five player where we have that at like every other position.
No, and you get greedy at this point when you are in the Braves position as a fan, and you're like, well, why is he playing shortstop? And it was really lucky that he played as well as he did last season. Like, he's never played that well. And it was an anomaly, and then he regressed back to what he was in the second half. So the good thing is the Braves can afford it. You're right. If he just plays good defense, that's really all that matters. But you would love to get, really greedy and go out and get a bona fide shortstop. Imagine that if you had, I can't even think of anybody that's actually available, but if you actually got someone in here who was worthwhile to complement the rest of this infield, it'd be terrifying.
Yeah, we'll see how he recovers after, kind of getting embarrassed by Bryce Harper in the playoffs.
Yeah. That was stupid.
But we got no concerns there, Graham.
Mm-hmm. It's not even a problem, but it's just like one of those things that it's like, if you want to poke holes in the Braves roster, it's like, he's really not that great. But it's okay. You can survive with RC as your shortstop if everybody's playing as well as they did.
He's a middle tier shortstop in the league.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's it for this episode of Atlanta Zone. We want to thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. Until then, rise up, chop on, unite and conquer, and remain true to Atlanta. Hospitamnasip.
Hospitamnasip.